Two movies enter, one movie leaves as we watch Two Wizard. One featuring the animated talents of Ralph Bashke. The other one, a film from South Africa. All on today's There Could Be Only One Podcast.
Well, you know everything's gonna be a breeze. At the end, we'll no doubt justify the means. You can fix any problem with the slightest ease. Yes, please. But you might find out it'll go to your head when you write a report on the book you never read. With the snap of your fingers, you can make it.
Welcome to the There Can Be Only One Podcast, where we watch two movies with the exact same title, or close enough, and tell one of them, you gotta change your title. Maybe both of them change your title. My name is Robert Allen. Joining me today is...
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
We have a special one today because this is on the eve of going out to Fantastic Fest. I had the bright idea of looking at all the titles in all the movies that are going to be available and see if any of them have matching movies that we can watch ahead of time. We're going to watch one of them ahead of time. The second one we'll probably have to watch while we're up in Austin because I am getting very tired tonight. So, the one we did watch tonight was Wizard, and it is a Ralph Bashke cartoon, not the one with Fred Savage. Sorry, Herman, we couldn't watch that one again.
Yeah.
This is the same guy who did the Lord of the Rings. He did Cool World, as has been pointed out by Herman. We looked at it up, was like, oh yeah, he did that too. So he has very distinct animation style. There's very few non-Disney cartoonists at the time that had multiple works. Like Don Bluth is one that comes to mind. Ralph Bashke is the other one. There's probably other ones, but making full-length feature films, those guys seem to have a monopoly on this sort of thing. And it was tough to make a non-Disney cartoon in those days because you had to appeal to a much larger audience than kids. It's one of those things that I saw on like an old Siskel and Ebert where they talked about this. They said they couldn't convince the theaters to hold a kids movie during the week because kids were in theaters and you couldn't sell any tickets to adults to kids movies. So they around the 70s and 80s and at the time there was only like two screens for all these theaters. So they would try to find a movie that kind of cross-promoted to both adults and children, and I think that's where Wizard came in. Wizards, in this case, this one is plural. And that's why it had more of an adult feel than your normal cartoon.
Definitely. It was rated PG, but I joked, or I pointed out that this movie would have came out today. It's definitely a rated R movie.
For R. That's a great film, according to Herman. Oh. So let's play the trailer real quick for everybody to get an idea what this is.
Here you go.
Of Ralph Bakshi, master of animation, comes the story of a mystical land in the far distant future. A land inhabited by enchanted creatures. A land ruled by wizards.
Attention! Leaders of tomorrow's master race!
The evil Black Wolf, Wizard of Darkness, who summons up the creatures of hell and launches an army of mutants, monsters, and unspeakable horror upon the gentle people of Montagar. Only one force stands in the path of Black Wolf's evil horde, the Wizard of Good, the Messiah of Peace, the mighty Avatar.
You gotta be kidding. I'm too old for this sort of thing.
Ralph Bakshi's epic animated adventure, Wizards. Rated PG.
And we're back. Yay. Yay. Yeah. So we watched this film. It's about 80 minutes long. You can see this on YouTube.
Yay.
It is full of expositions. You can tell this guy is heavily influenced by the world of J.R.R. Tolkien because it also features another life in Earth, but with the... I guess more of an influence of today's times as opposed to Lord of the Rings, where you had elves and fairies and shit like that.
Leprechauns.
It wasn't fairies. Yeah, leprechauns.
All that.
Yeah, of course. Whatever floated your boat, they existed. Would sell cereal.
Whatever we see as folklore or fantasy, basically it was real, and he explained it that we actually are ancestors of these creatures, and they went to a long, long, long sleep.
Yeah, that's truthers.
Yeah, that's why we don't see them.
We belong to fairies, not dinosaurs. Yeah, that's what we evolved from.
Well, I know a couple of fairies out here right now.
Yeah, Yeah. According to Herman, he loves telling them dad jokes. He can't help himself.
Yes.
All right, so there is a Galadriel-esque opening monologue by a unknown person.
Susan McDougal.
Well, no. I mean, in the movie, they don't introduce this person. This isn't like a character in this movie.
Right.
They're just thrown in there to like say some stuff to move the plot along because everything that's plot-wise is just done in exposition by this lady. You find out, essentially, this world was created after like a long, dormant period where most humans turned into mutants, and then when fairies and elves woke back up, they're like, oh, son, no humans. This is fantastic. This is great.
To put it in context, the movie came out in 79.
77,
excuse me. And everybody was worried about the nuclear war, nuclear holocaust, and holocaust.
Yeah, nobody worries about that now.
Yes.
Why would you worry about that sort of thing?
That's basically what happened is they fired all the nuclear weapons and blocked out the sun and basically radiation and all that stuff, and humans turned into mutants and all that good stuff.
So there's like two wizards, and they made them brothers. And they are the wizards of one of them's good, one of them's bad. You see where this is going.
Yeah.
The good one's living a pretty decent life. The bad one's like, ah, might as well hang out with these mutants. They seem to respect me. He eventually starts bringing up a whole bunch of the things that destroyed us in the past, and was I guess came across like some World War II memorabilia people, like people that just go out and collect this shit, and is like, hell yeah, thank God somebody preserves all this stuff, including long lost footage of the movie. Now Ralph Bashke might be the only person that animates in stock footage. Like there's very few people that have that kind of skill to where it feels like they've included stuff in the movie. Where I mean, you'd see it like a lot of times where people would find stock footage to fill in the movie, but not cartoons. That rarely happens. They would just show like pictures of people in an army, but he'd include horns on them. They're like, oh, okay, I see it now. There we go. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of downtime where you would see stuff like that in this movie. So eventually the bad brother is conquering everything. He even kills the president of the good lands, and so the good brother, his name's Avatar. The bad brother's name, what?
Wolfheart?
Wolfblood? Is that it? Wolfblood? Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
They called him Hitler by the end of this, so let's call him Hitler.
Basically.
We'll call him Hitler. Well, they said, and the new Hitler's gone.
No, they actually call him Führer.
But no, like when they were doing the exposition again, they called him another Hitler is gone. Like they,
I missed that part, damn.
Yeah, they went through that whole thing.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry to spoil it. They actually conquered bad. Go figs. Avatar realizes that the only way to stop his brother and the sea of demons that supports him is by destroying a projector that is awe-inspiring. Similar to what happened with the Nazis and their propaganda machine. Like, that was always considered, like, their big thing that got them into power was, like, movies like Triumph of the Will, where they would show how awesome they are, and everybody's like, yeah, I guess they're awesome. They can have our country. And it's like, what? That's all we have to do? Okay, fine. So that's how they conquered Europe. You heard it here first, folks. So, Eleanor, who is the president's daughter / So it's What was that movie? Who played the president's daughter? It wasn't Anne Hathaway, was it? The girl that was Katie Holmes? Was it Katie Holmes who played the president's daughter?
You mean Mandy Moore?
Was it Mandy Moore that did that? Yeah. So it was like the president's daughter, except if Mandy Moore wore like the skimpiest outfit out there, she was definitely dressed up like a Betty Page fairy, I guess is the best way to put it.
Betty Boo.
No. Why is that? Why Betty Boo? Because it's animated? Is that it?
Yeah, and plus Betty Boo was like full figure, you know? Like,
have you seen pictures of Betty Page?
No, I have not seen pictures
so
of Betty.
So you are saying, frankly, sir, the app description that you gave, I have no context for. Yes. I'm just going to smush that to the side and put a characterization that I think is correct because I think she has a huge head.
Well, I think if I haven't heard about it, I don't think our listener had heard of Betty Page.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
Yes, I'm that conceited.
No. All right, fine. I've got to pull up pictures. You have definitely seen her before, okay?
Is she a cartoon character?
No.
Well, how in the hell have I seen Betty Page? Like, I really watch real people in life. Is she Jessica Rabbit?
I have a feeling this is going to be a short podcast. My head is slowly hurting in this. I have to give like a lesson on what she looks like. This is exactly what the fairy looked like. You can't tell me otherwise. Come on, say it. Say it for my comfort.
Well, Robert, looking at
say it right now.
Looking at those pictures, I'm glad you proved me wrong.
Jesus Christ, man! I can't believe I had to. I didn't know who Betty Page was. So anyway,
what movie was she in?
She was a pinup girl. Yeah. All right. Fine. Never mind. So anyway, this fairy who definitely looks like Betty Page, not Betty Boop, for whatever reason, Herman thinks that's the case. And Weehawk was the other dude who was the elf that went.
He was very annoying.
He didn't really help out too much. It was like he was there. He was there too. That was basically what he was doing. Avatar did most of the work. Most of the heavy lifting. Delegation. He was more like he gave the long winded speeches that would save them if they got into any hairy incidents, and they did. And on occasion, it's going to happen. It's a road trip. Very similar to Lord of the Rings, they have a creature that is helping them along, that is working for the other side, but gets destroyed. His name is Peace, and eventually they get to him, and very unceremoniously, Avatar kills him with a gun, which I thought was pretty funny. It was like, oh, okay, we're up to this point. I guess there's going to be a big wizard battle. Nope. Fooled ya. Gun, bang, bang, dead. And it destroys the projector, and immediately, just like killing the Queen Borg, all the other mutants just go away. So the world is saved once again, and we're back to Avatar wanting to sex up Eleanor, and Weehawk is going to... What?
I wanna sex you up.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing.
Okay.
And Weehawk is going to control some lands, so he gets to be president. Because they have those titles or whatever. I mean, that's what they called the first dude. He was president of the land.
Yeah, that was
right?
Kind of funny. Like, he was president, but she says he told Weehawk that he was going to become the king. Like, okay.
Yeah, we're back to forget this electing business. We're controlling people and making everybody feel like they're not important anymore by letting them vote. That's not going to happen. So anyway. So the world is saved and the movie's over, and Herman was like, thank God that movie is over. 80 minutes long and he couldn't take the whole thing.
No.
Although I have to say the world that they do paint in this is very interesting. It's not the greatest movie, I'll admit.
No.
But it has some very interesting concepts behind it. Right?
Yeah, I had to stop like 5 minutes into the movie and like literally ask you what the fuck is going on. Because it has so
much... It's a kid's movie. You don't have to learn what's going on. It's going
to
happen, man.
They're trying to throw so much at you so fast, you have to like, whoa, slow down. Slow down, son.
Right, right.
But I was trying to figure this out, though. In 1977, what would you consider like a movie being like good? I know Jaws came out in the
77, huh?
And was a blockbuster.
Huh. That's a pivotal year for, huh? What about, Star Wars?
But okay. This movie made $9 million in the box office, which I think is actually pretty good.
That's all right.
For looking at this movie and the year it came out.
Right. But, yeah, it's okay. That's not extraordinary. It's okay.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think kids' movie, in general, start to boom in the 80s because the mall? Like, I remember going to the mall to watch the movies all the time. Like,
it had everything.
Parents gave me the money. They had to come with me. I just went and watched movies.
It had everything to do with Disney's resurgence and making good cartoons again.
Okay.
It was right around the time when they were making Little Mermaid, Lion King, that sort of thing. That's when it started getting better.
The Rescuers?
No. That's 80s, man. No way, man. No.
Who made Watership Down?
Not Disney.
That was a good movie.
Oh, that was another one of those. They made it into a cartoon, but clearly it was meant for adults.
Yeah, I know.
But no, it needed megaplexes. You weren't here in Baton Rouge when this happened. United Artists was the only theater in town, and they weren't showing Disney films because they had like some weird barring with them. I had to watch Honey, I Shrunk the Kids at the River Center. Like, that was the only place in town that would show it.
Damn.
They showed it as like a, oh, well, we got to show it somewhere because this is actually getting good. I think it was The Lion King out of town. Like, I had to go to New Orleans to see it.
Yeah, you probably came to the Joy.
Yeah. So it was just, that was the case. You had to watch movies elsewhere. That's it. So up until like I guess the mid to late, around the mid to late 90s, I think they were starting to let people see Disney films around here again, especially when United Artists wasn't the only game in town. So.
It's funny the way you say it. Like, well, they saw Leonard's watching in the 90s. It was like, okay, Disney ain't going nowhere. We might as well go ahead and just let them come on in. They've been around for about 40, 50, 60 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what happened. So before we watch the other film, which will seem like no time has passed for our listeners, but do you have any suggestions for a title for this? Let's hear your awful suggestions as the Betty Boop of suggestions.
You ready for it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
I think this movie should be called Avatar.
No. No, I understand that's the name of the wizard. We're not naming it.
I mean, come on. That name was like pop up there. I couldn't really think of nothing for this. I mean, propaganda maybe because, but no.
You, I think it's the world that they need to focus in on, not the two wizards that are. I think that's more important.
What was
in
the
this.
Name of the land? The world of Montagar.
Yeah, Montagar was the name of the land. But I think if you want to draw people in, I understand like we have an After Earth movie, but I think that really applies to this as well. So it's like post human sort of After Earth, After World, After. It's a land after time, I think, is what we're looking at here. So that might actually be a better title, The Land After Time.
Land After Time.
Yeah, instead of Land Before Time. So so you have that connection.
Well, another bad one that I'm just thinking on top of my head.
Yes, cool, go for it.
Cool Earth.
Yeah, well, Cool After Earth would actually be better. I think it, yeah, because of the cool world. Yeah. Art, Cool After World, I think is might be a better one. Those are all in the running. So we're going to play a little bit of the Wizard trailer from the movie that we're going to see up in Austin. It's in a different language. That's going to be tough. So you'll get very little description of what's going on. But it involves weed. We did find that out. But we'll be back after these messages.
And
we're back.
Yeah. We're back. You had to. The trick was to see when I was out of food in my hand, not because I put headphones on.
Well, this thing takes so long to warm up, I didn't realize when it was going to do it, so oh well.
Well, Herman just finished watching Wizard. I had seen Wizard like 5 days ago. To give you context,
yeah,
we left you guys from the friendly confines over in Baton Rouge, and now we are in day 8 of Fantastic Fest.
The last day.
So the way this is released, it might actually go in reverse order because the other ones are in previous days. So this one is the final day of all this happening, and because of the schedule, Herman wasn't able to get into the first one. The way it works, if you're not familiar with the way this convention works as opposed to other ones, you have to put in your request for what movie you want to see and rank them 1 to 5. And you have a very good chance of getting your 1s and 2s, but that isn't the case all the way through because everybody that has a badge is guaranteed to at least get into a movie. And I was able to get into Wizard the first time because they had one screen showing, but Herman wasn't able to get in because of the one screen. He wasn't able to switch out his ticket. So he was like, oh, we'll just wait till Thursday, and here we are, guys. We get to talk about a movie that I have forgotten almost all about.
So,
and it is fresh in Herman's mind, so I now have to go, really? Is that what happened? Is that what went on?
What happened now? Okay.
All right, so the movie itself, because the trailer is not going to give away, we looked at the trailer ahead of time, did not have much.
The trailer is completely different.
Well, no, it's just in another language. We can't really play it. It's not going to help anybody. So it's about like this dude and his best friend who sell pot in town and is looking for a way to get out. And I have compared this, and I told him going in, we'll see if this is an apt description of the movie. that this is a watchable version of Nola Circus. Am I correct on this?
Yes, it is. It is. It's very more watchable, more realistic. Even though
I don't think Nola was ever going for realistic. Yeah, I don't think this one is either. So
yeah, well, for South Africa, maybe.
No, okay. Now that's just assuming that's exactly what happens in South Africa. I'm not saying movies always have a heightened sense of reality. So well, I'm not gonna throw that as like a reason to see this movie at all.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. It did tidy it up nicely. Okay, so no, it's okay. Whatever. But let's get to the nitty gritty of it.
All right, so the whole movie is told through the eyes of three heralds at the beginning that tells you about living in the ghettoest of ghetto places in Africa. And they actually give the viewer a choice of movies, of people that they want to talk to. But then they like, I don't want to talk about that dude.
Yeah.
Then, I don't want to talk about that dude. Let's talk about these two up-and-coming kids that have the whole world looking forward to. And then we can discuss the little predicament that got themselves into, and you get to see the other people that were tied into it as well. So in the short of it, it's very simple. They make a very desirable brand of marijuana that they have called Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody wants it, and they're like, no, nobody can have it. It's ours. And somebody said, I will give you all the money for it. And they're like, okay, that's fine. We like all the money.
Yeah.
But the other people are now angry about this. So... Mm-hmm. Movie time! Then it flashes for movies and stuff, and then you get the actual movie going.
Well, it was kind of funny, because it seemed like they must not have been smokers or nothing, because they did not realize how good their product was. So everybody was telling them that y'all got grade A stuff here, and it was suddenly so low that it caught the eye of a local gangster. And he was trying to, like, basically...
Not the big-time gangsters. Yeah. You don't get the scouts that come out for the big-time gangsters looking for these people.
No. Yeah, so,
I like your style, kid.
Yeah.
You want to play for the big leagues?
Yeah, going to call you up to the majors. So he see that they're selling it so low. So he come up them with an offer that he think they're just going to jump on. But they like, nah, this something don't seem right. You know, we going to pass. So they go to the big city and meet the big gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Who last name is Kruger. I don't know, you know, figure that one out. Kruger, Freddy Kruger, I don't know.
Yes, it ties exactly into the movie because they all are possessed in their dreams.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, you got it exactly how it works, Herman.
Right, there you go.
That movie, you have tied this movie down to a T.
Yes, I do.
No, it's just, that's what it's called.
My bad.
That's what it's called, dude.
Yeah. So anyway, he makes them the best offer possible, and it agreed to sell. But that original gangster, that local gangster that they didn't want to sell to, he robbed them of their weed. So hijinks ensued, blase, 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 and we get to the end of the movie. There you go.
All right. It is actually a pretty short movie. I mean, we could describe like it, go into detail. For them to have like five stories in one, the movie itself is actually kind of short. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I wouldn't say it's like a great movie. No. And there's a very good chance nobody's going to be able to see it outside of this festival.
The director, he did drop this little tidbit before the Q&A. He said they thought the movie started filming 3 weeks after the inception of it and basically was done within a week. So they actually got this movie from the time he thought of the idea to the time it finished filming, 1 month.
Right.
They did all this in 1 month.
Well, you got to be quick, especially if you have... You have a particular crew you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the case. I don't think they needed months of planning for this
sort of thing. They had a hard day. They had to get it done by New Year's, you know.
Of course, because money or film goes bad, of course. Yeah. That's why you would do it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was all right. As for the name itself, I don't know. It's Do you remember the name of the place? This is the part where it's going to get kind of hazy for me because I don't remember anything about the location. Like, where what was the name of the place?
The city where they stayed? Where it was at?
Yeah, it says the township of Attingenville.
I thought it was Petey. Maybe that's the name of the home.
Poppy is one of the names of the dude. The other one's name is Leifa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the guys. That name you kept seeing was dude's name.
The Incredible Adventures of Leafy and Poppy.
Or in your case, because this is exactly how it would go down, the credible adventures of Poppy and Leifa. Yeah. Now you got me saying it wrong. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, as for the things that we saw at Fantastic Fest, the movie itself was all right. It probably would be like smack dab
it's
in the middle.
It's not the worst. It is not the best.
No.
It's right there in the middle.
Good thing you defined the Goldilocks standard of this film. It is just right.
Yeah.
It is, and I'm willing to keep the name Wizard just because that's the name of the product that they had over the other film that we had, which was just a cartoon that had nothing to do with being Wizard. I still like the idea of, instead of calling it, what did we say, instead of Middle Earth, I was thinking After Earth, but that's not right. It was, the Land After Time. That's what I wanted to call it. I had to think about it for a second. We just did that, right? Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, just about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, of course. That's what I did it.
Yes.
Okay, so I say, officially, we're going to change the cartoon one to The Land After Time and go ahead and keep the name for this one, just because one of the fancier things that you can do with foreign language films is just call it by whatever it's called in that country.
Yeah, so can you say the name that it's actually called?
No. You're trying to get me to say something that I saw 5 days ago. I don't remember anything.
He said it today.
I'm sure he did.
I ain't going to try to say it.
No, of course not.
Whatever Wizard translated to in South African, Mwada?
Whatever language. Okay. I don't know. It was a mix of English because they spoke English half the time during this as well.
Yeah, they did.
Just like most movies when you're trying to translate it to an overseas audience, occasionally you got to throw in some English, just a little bit, in order to get their attention. So we are only two movies short, or actually a short collection and one movie short of this being done. Are you willing to rate your overall experience on this, Herman? And if you would actually want to do this again?
Yeah. Even though I have a slight headache right now, I don't know. But it's a good experience. I enjoy it and stuff. I'm probably going to do this one time because, no, hear me out. I don't know if it could get any better than this, because I think this is like, this is perfect, and I hate to come back and like and ruin my memory of it. Like, this is a perfect. I mean, I would say 80% of the movies, maybe 90% of the movies I don't watch, I actually enjoy. It wasn't that many movies I didn't enjoy. And even the movies I really didn't like, I took something from them anyway. So, I mean, it's hard to explain to people who's not a movie buff like I am or you. And I'm pretty sure our listeners are movie buffs if they listen to this podcast.
Well, the thing that's different from all the other festivals, even with South by Southwest, this, they're not selling you. They've already sold the people that they needed to get into this this festival, because this is a they're aiming for an audience, and the audience that they're selling it to are these people that enjoy a sort of gory horror comedy. Like a nice mix of all those things. And most of these films cover that gambit. It's not 100% across the board. I mean, we saw films that were really good.
I don't think we have any Oscar-worthy films at this festival.
No, I don't think they're attempting to be, though. No. I don't think they're aiming for that crowd. But, no, I mean, you wouldn't expect to see a Moonlight here. This ain't the crowd for that.
I could see a Moonlight being played there.
No. I don't want to see that here. I would have been so disappointed if that's where I was like, this is what I wasted the time on. I got to watch a documentary on Gilbert Gottfried and I watch this instead. Yeah, I'm not going to.
I could have seen the Silver Linings Playbook played there.
No.
Really?
No, I don't. I mean, they could because of the star power. It happens. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to see that here. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see the smaller films that have little to no chance of being seen elsewhere. And one of the good things about the Facebook group that they have is they update you when all these films actually become available on a service. So you can go up to somebody and say, hey, go watch this movie. This actually was a pretty good film. Or you can say, hey, I've seen that movie, and that was okay. And I really can't recommend it. So there, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would say maybe 20, 25% of the movies that are on here actually have distribution at this point, to where they know the date that's coming out. A lot of these are just like, hey, we got picked up at this festival, and we hope that it gets a bigger draw elsewhere, but we can't guarantee that you're going to see it anywhere else but here. So we hope you had a good time, because we're not sure when we're going to be able to release this. So do you have a favorite?
Oh, man, my favorite so far probably was...
Oh, you're actually, like, you think downsizing is going to beat it out, huh?
No. Yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna like the movie. I don't think I'm gonna love it. So we'll see.
Favorite? Let's see. I'm gonna have to think about this more. But like on top of my head, Merciless, Mom and Dad, Brawl in Cell Block 99, The Blade of Immortal. Those four films definitely is like up there and stuff. I'm pretty sure there's another film I'm blanking on right now that I actually was like, you know, just loving it and stuff. Because, I mean, we have watched a lot of films.
I guarantee you there is one right now.
Which one? Don't leave him in suspense.
No, come on. Bodied. That's not on your list, dude. Yeah,
see what I mean? That's how good this festival is.
You were gushing about that movie afterwards.
Yeah, so. You're going to forget about movies that you actually liked it because they got so many movies that you're going to like. You know? That's kind of like my problem with females. I got so many girls that I like that I forget about the girls that I like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what about See You Up There? Would that be in that list?
Yes, it actually would be in the list. It was a very good storytelling movie, even brought a tear to my eye.
So we're looking at over 8 days, averaging about 5 movies a day. That's basically what we did.
What you like?
Oh, my favorite is, I guess it's got to be See You Up There. I think that was the one that really surprised me. I think Brawl is great. I think Bodied is also good. There was other ones that were surprised me. Like, I didn't think I'd really love that Gilbert Gottfried documentary. I know I already brought it up before, but yes, I actually enjoyed that. Out of all the other documentaries, that's the one I enjoyed the most. But I think a lot of the movies were just average. There wasn't ones that I hated or loved as much. There's not ones that I'm going to be gushing about as much. There's just ones that I've looked at, like, especially with Bodied. It is not picked up by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that's going to last long. That feels like a movie that needs to be enjoyed with a lot of people.
No, between Eminem and that dude who was the MC for the rap battle, I don't know if you know him, Charlamagne the God.
Yeah.
He's got a number one hip-hop radio show in the country that he's – I actually heard about him talking about it a week before we came to the festival on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get picked up. He actually went to Toronto, like, before he came here. It was in Toronto for the film festival out there, and that's why he was talking about it, because he went out there for the film festival out there. So it's going to get picked up. I know there's going to be some bad sound quality.
Yep.
It's going to get picked up eventually.
Yeah, that's what I've well, with all these, you figure it's going to get picked up.
I think it's going to come out before Christmas.
I think the one that will make the most money, though, if it gets picked up and distributed correctly, is probably Mom and Dad. That's the one that there were tons of people gushing about afterwards. So when you have somebody starting like Nicolas Cage in it, and it doesn't have a distributor at this point.
That should be a Valentine's movie. That should be a Valentine's Day movie.
It's just whatever they can find the slot for it. I think it'll get picked up. I think right now Cage has a bit of a problem with making a whole bunch of horrible films, that this just feels like another one on that block. But this one, I don't think I've seen as much love from the people in the audience than his other Cage films. So.
I think Body is going to make the most money, just for the simple fact is it's going to bring in that age range that spent a lot of money at the theater. That, because like me and you,
if it gets a big distribution, early. Yes, I think it will. Yeah. But it really depends.
Oh, you're talking about screen wise. Okay.
It depends. It really does. If they get the same kind of push that like the Tupac documentary did, and that was a piece of crap. So if that actually got a lot of people interested.
I still haven't seen that movie.
Well, you shouldn't, because it got like a 17% of Rotten Tomatoes, and they're saying, well, it doesn't do anything. It just gives you the greatest hits. So you just went to a concert where they're like, hey, remember this song? That's basically what they did. So you don't learn anything new about the guy. So they found a dude that looked just like Tupac. And there you go. That's what they did.
Do you think Brawl has a chance to make a lot of dough? Is it just one of the films that
it looks like they've formed a relationship? If they talked about it afterwards. Vince is doing it. At least he did another movie. They talked about they just finished filming another one that he did with Vince Vaughn. So they're going to continue doing this. It's funny to see the reviews of people that don't even like it saying, I think you're probably going to still want to watch this, even though I can't recommend it. And that's the feeling I got. I know a lot of people who didn't. I think it helps that Bone Tomahawk is out there. Oh, but I can't imagine this film is going to get anything but like a Netflix or an Amazon release. That's all I keep seeing. I didn't even see Gerald's Game because it's going to be on Netflix like tomorrow, I think.
Okay, I can see that, because like the first person I thought about recommending Brawl to is like my people who watch Spartacus and stuff like that. Like, you ever watch Spartacus?
No.
Okay, it's very gory, very, like, you know, blood and guts all over.
It's not the same type of movie. I wouldn't say it's the same thing. I know you're looking at me like that. But that doesn't happen until, like, later in the film. It's a build-up, man.
Shh, don't spoil it.
It's a build-up. Well, that's the whole point. You're saying it's like Spartacus, but if it's anything like 300, where it was nothing but blood and guts, then a different... People are going to be bored by the movie for, like, the first hour because there is nothing up until that point.
Well, truth be told, I was kind of bored by the movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. You can't compare it to Spartacus if it's anything like 300.
I compare it like this. The payoff is so good, it's worth the goddamn wait.
Okay.
It's worth the wait.
It reminds me a lot of the way Tarantino's been shooting lately, where it's a lot of dialogue leading up to a big... finale. Mm-hmm. So that's been a lot of Tarantino's films lately.
Nah, I'm not. See, I'm blanking. There was another film that I watched in this festival that reminded me of Quentin Tarantino. Had a lot of dialogue. I was like, are they trying to go for the Quentin Tarantino type in this movie? Damn, I wish I could remember what it was.
Yep, and he pulls out his phone just to look at it and not pay attention to what he's doing here. I don't think it'll help him.
It's going to help me.
Nope.
You don't know what's going to help me.
Thoroughbreds? Is that what you're thinking of? Maybe?
Thoroughbreds? No.
Thelma, Three Football and Souls. I'm just naming films that were out there.
Yeah, keep going. Three Football and Souls also the line, is a good movie.
Was it The Line?
No,
was
it wasn't
that gangster
line.
Film?
No, it wasn't
The Line. Was it The Merciless? Did you see VIP? I've heard good things about that one. I did not see that one.
I did not see VIP. The Merciless is also good. Just keep naming Robbie.
I'm just naming movies.
Yeah, just keep
Haunted.
Naming.
That's the one I just finished watching.
I did not
watching.
See that shit.
It's not a very well put together documentary. I see where they were going on this, but they had too many ideas trying to scramble through that thing. It's not a typical. Like, they didn't focus in on one or two things. They tried to cover the gambit, and it didn't work as well.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, for Haunted House's documentary, there's not a ton of them out there. There's one done by the kid that was in Troll 2 that made the best worst movie. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of it, but it was the second film he did after he did the best worst documentary. And it, like, he just did it on, like, people who make haunted houses out of their house, like, once a year. And I'm pulling up the dude now so I can see his other movies. And I can find out what he did as soon as it gets. He is listed as an actor 8 times. He is a director 4 times. And one of those was The American Scream. That's what it's called. So, yeah.
I tell you one movie that we didn't get to watch at the festival that I'm definitely going to try to find after this festival is Vitter the Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that trailer just seemed awesome, but that's the only thing. That's the only movie that I could say I actually like. Wish we could have got into to see, but it just didn't line up this time.
Yeah, that's why you look at the Facebook group so you can see what movies you missed and whenever they become available. And there's still films from like last year that haven't been available or may never become available. But anyway, I think we got enough here.
Think so?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right.
I'm done talking. I got to pack all this shit up. Okay?
Yay!
For another That Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman O'Meara Pondings.
Yeah. You want the light on? Does that help you?
No.
You want to set the mood here? Is that better?
It's good. It's nighttime, so gotta be.
Yeah, we gotta do some TC Boo after dark. That's the only way it works.
TC Boo, I never thought about calling it that. Every time I look at the initials, I'd be thinking about Tobago, something like that. TC Boo, that works.
That's the only way I'd describe the acronym to people. Let's go TC Boo. Yeah, I guess we shouldn't shorten it. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
All right, fine. All right, before we head out to Austin tomorrow, what movie is the highest on your list that you are most anticipating?
The Blade of the Immortal.
Oh.
Yeah.
The VK film.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of wanted to check out Ichi the... Is that saying that right? Ichi the Killer?
Ichi the Killer.
Yeah, isn't that his first film?
It's not his first one. It's probably the one that a lot of people over here have heard of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
But yeah, he's made a ton of them overseas. This was just... That was the one that kind of broke ground.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the trailers and stuff, and I noticed... not too many American-made movies.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
How it always is.
Well, that's the thing. You're looking for B movies, but it's
you're limited on what you can get. So unless a studio wants it to be shown at this festival, there's a very good chance you're just going to find stuff that might not even have an audience over here. So that's what they're aiming for.
Now, I tell you, another movie...
So you got to have tons of subtitles, baby. It's going to be great.
I tell you, another movie I'm kind of interested in, because we didn't talk about this, but I just saw the trailer like yesterday. The one with Vince Vaughn. I can't remember the name.
Cell Block 99, that one?
Yes. I seen the name of it. I thought it was another one. I thought Cell Block 99, I got confused with another movie about the dude breaking out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally watched the trailer and I was like, ah, damn, Vince Vaughn is really trying a different role here. So that looked pretty interesting.
Yeah, did you see Bone Tomahawk? That was the other thing the guy made.
No, I didn't see Bone Tomahawk.
It's one of those films that makes you want to see more he has to offer. So this Brawl in Cell Block 30 or Cell Block 99, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll find out what your favorite film afterwards is.
Yeah,
it may be none. We'll find out.
It may be one. It can be only one.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. You ready?